What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Parappa the Rapper, Nick Scarpino.
You can't start at four. We've already...
No,
Parappa the Rapper. He nailed you,
we
dude.
We need to have a conversation about
Nick,
Kevin.
Google Parappa the Rapper.
I understand who Parappa is. I understand who that is.
We need to have a conversation about Kevin. Because he accidentally started the countdowns once at four last week. We made fun of him when he went, all right, everybody ready? Four. And then he paused because he knew he fucked up. And then he committed three, two. Since then, Kevin has not missed. He has said he has started all accounts at four for every show that we've been on.
He's setting a new standard.
That's respectable. You know what I mean? It's one of those, like,
just so you know,
to not only own the fuck up as hard as he owned it originally, to now just have it be that's going to be regular for the rest of his life.
So wait,
you're that's a shirt right there. Make the shirt.
You're saying this is a good thing that he's doing this to us now?
Well, I mean, if Andy makes a shirt, Andy, here's what I'm thinking. It is the number four on a shirt.
People are going to get this.
It worked for Chance, right?
In a show, because it's always pre-show.
Kev brings up a good thing of it did work for Chance. Put three on a hat, it'll sell. But four, it's a bigger number related to Kevin. Mm-hmm. It could work out.
Chance the dog from Homeward Bound?
Yes, exactly.
From Parappa. Yeah, you nailed it. Chance the dog from Homeward Bound. Oh, the internet's going to be mad at you.
Homeward Bound. There's something about Kev that we all love and appreciate.
There is something about Kev.
That's a movie poster. It's the variable that you never know if it's on purpose or not on purpose.
So while
he has never missed the four countdown since he made that mistake the first time, there was a games daily where it was me and Bless, and he says, we're going to blow in four, three, two. And I'm like, did you mean to say blow? Or were you going to say roll? Like, what was going to happen there? And I don't think he knows. I really don't think he knows.
Frankly, that's it is fair. A mystery. Yeah. And just Kevin, so you know, I only do the count of four when it's any of you guys hosting. So for Imran and Blessing today, I did 3-2-1.
Now, why is that?
Well, because they wouldn't get it. they wouldn't, you know what I mean? They'd be confused about it. They'd be like, that doesn't make any sense.
Now, is that because it would confuse them and it'd make the show harder to start if you did that for them?
I don't understand how four... Nick, you keep talking. I'm going to start counting down from five.
Five makes sense.
Five's a normal number, though. Five... In three are normal numbers.
All right, motherfucker. Six it is. Six it is.
This is what I love about Kevin for everyone out there, because people think we're too hard on Kevin. And to be fair, we probably are. But sometimes he deserves it. Sometimes he does stuff just for his own edification baffles all of us, makes the shows way harder to do, and only is funny to him
That's an opinion. Because here's the thing, this is like we've made content out of it now. You know what I mean?
I'm sure everyone at home is thrilled about it.
I was gonna say, for the last I don't even know, I'd say 19 to 18 months, I've been out of things to talk about on Kinda Funny Podcast, and having this 4-3, it gets us going. It gets the wheels,
it gets the juices
think of
flying.
The wheels all locked up in ice, as in the hit movie Batman and Robin, and then we have that giant telescope thing that we're using to push the sun around. The dog starts peeing again, and then there you go, ice to see you, and we're making a podcast.
I feel like every once in a while I'll do something. Remember that one time I was like, Greg, I need you to step it up right before I started, and that just got you going in a great way.
It stepped me up. I got stepped up. You know what I mean?
Remember the time you said science go far here? And we all we're going to remember forever.
Kevin, I'd like to think that when filmologists and cinematographers all over the world decided, you know, okay, it's 480p, it's 720p, it's 1080p. I'd like to think that you are sort of setting a new standard here, and we will look back on this day, and people will say, when did we start counting back from four as directors in film? And Christopher Nolan says, well, it was Kinda Funny Podcast on November 10th, 2020.
He pulls out his whiteboard and starts to try to explain it all with like weird timelines and shit. But it all adds up, and it all leads to Kevin.
Andy, all roads lead back to Kevin.
Andy, listen to this.
Oh, this is a great one.
That is
no, Andy. What is he eating? It's a crunchy. What is it?
Oh, let's guess. This is fun.
Why would he go, Andy, listen to this, and then it's crunch taco, into it and turn to Andy?
I clearly roll taco.
I think that it's something that maybe introduced him to, that he's saying, Andy, remember these good days that we had back at the Kinda Funny Studios?
Is it a Taki?
Is it a Taki, Kevin?
It is not.
Is it a Hot Cheeto?
No, Andy's wrong. Just ahead. Also, he didn't introduce me to Hot Cheetos. He did introduce me hot Cheetos with a little bit of twang on it, and it's no way to like. It's the only way to live.
Yeah. Damn, Kevin, I'm at a loss right now. I couldn't even.
Yeah. So what it is?
People, hold on, real quick. The live chat, of course. If you're on Patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can watch us record this show live. I'm seeing three people here. Now a fourth. Jonathan says it's a nugget for sure. Kyle says spicy nug. The Lou says it's a spicy nug. Demetrius what? Newell says a spicy nug. If that is a spicy nug, I will walk into the back there and put this hand into the garbage disposal.
Wait, let me hear it again.
Because let me tell you, there is no way that nug would be burnt to a crisp to be that crunchy. Mm-hmm. Kevin, bite again.
Hold on. This is not as crunchy as that other one.
It's got to be a nugget then.
It's not a nugget.
Here's the thing. Oh, wow. It's a pizza, a little mini pizza, and I'm just really proud of how crispy I'd made that piece.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
It's like perfect.
That's
the
Andy factor.
So okay. That's an Andy factor. But I was thinking for a second, that when he says Andy, listen to this, that it could have been anything unrelated to any of my interests. It could have been a fucking piece of celery.
A Pringle.
And it would have made sense that Kevin is directing it at me for no reason because Kevin just does shit for no reason.
Correct. Same reason why Kevin decided to start with four. This is what I'm saying. He does it for his own. And I respect this, Kevin. This is going to sound mean. But I do the same thing. You make jokes for just one person, numero uno, you. And I respect that.
No, Nick and Kevin, I'm calling both of you out here. What happens is it's not you're making the joke for yourself. You say something incorrectly, and then people start laughing. And then you try to take credit for the joke.
When that happens, I get pissed at you guys. Like the 4-3-2-1 is a response to me being upset of you guys all laughing at me so hard, so hard. You know,
like what I imagine is Kevin biting and going, Andy, check this out, and being like, guess what it is? And me going, I don't know, a hot Cheeto? No, rotisserie chicken.
I'm just saying, Andy, since knowing you, one of the things that you've done is you've raised my bar of like what the right amount of toast things are. Like I've told you multiple times where like I've made a hamburger and I've toasted the bread. To the point where I'm like, I always, when I toast anything now, I think I'm making this for Andy, but I'm going to eat it. You know what I mean?
And you're better for it because when the crust is, when the crust is crispier and the edge of a bun is crispier, it's a better experience for everybody. I'm so happy for you.
Greg from Kinda Funny.
Mr. Cortez from Kinda Funny. I was wondering, where do you come down on the smash burgers? Because those get the crispy edges on the patties. Jen wanted those the other day. I made them for the first time ever. Right? No, I mean, like, you make them on a... You can make them at home. I made them at home where you just press them down. You put the meat in there. You press them down really thin. Then you let them go. You flip them and you get the edges nice and crunchy.
That's not, right. That's not a burger.
Somebody else the other day where they mentioned Andy, what do you think?
Hold on a second. How is that not a fucking burger?
Did you put it in a panini maker?
No, I put it on a cast iron skillet.
Oh, okay.
So press it down with a spatula. Get it nice, like you're a nice diner or no shitty diner. One of them.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I was gonna rip you a new fucking two hole.
If you did that, I would have driven and ripped off your fucking hat and then driven back here on the podcast.
There's a lot of threats going on.
I like it.
Starting with Greg putting his hand in the garbage disposal and ending with him ripping off his hat.
Record, I saw somebody. I think it was maybe the Louis 30. Oh, no, it's Kyle. And well, at least Greg gets to keep his hand. Listen here, guys. If you haven't learned anything from watching this podcast, rule number three: don't fuck with me. Right? That was a genie move. I said I would put it in the garbage disposal. I didn't say I'd turn the garbage disposal on. Think for a second. All right. This is how you rubes out there end up with no car and 13 watermelons.
What does that mean?
I'm saying you give me 45 minutes, 13 watermelons, and I'll have Kyle's car. I'll have it lock, stock, and barrel. Totally legal.
All right. He's not from Kansas.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, if he was from Kansas, I'd be like, can I please have your rickshaw or whatever? Whatever. I don't even know where they're dragging each other around.
Definitely. Rickshaw's the first thing in Kansas that they default.
They don't know what a motor vehicle is. They can't even keep their horses alive. I digress.
Andy from Kinda Funny.
Really, really quickly, Greg, you mentioned Smashburger. I want to get back to that because earlier or a couple days ago, somebody mentioned Smashburger, and my mind goes to Smashburger, the restaurant, the food place, the fast food place.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how common they are. I know we had one near Rooster Teeth back in the day.
The GameStop place.
Yeah, they look like GameStop. Yeah, it looks like, next
GameStop. Same GameStop logo. Yeah, that the Impact font or whatever. Now, so they don't sell Smashburger style burgers there.
They do. What is a
Smashburger? I'm gonna look this up.
Because look, if you Google Smashburger, you're just gonna find the fucking restaurant.
Yeah,
but do Smashburger recipe. You'll see. It's basically instead of how, you know, you remember when we used to be able to hang out together because the world wasn't ending, and I would make the burgers, I'd put them on the grill. Kevin says I didn't do them right. I made them too thick.
Too thick.
You make them. Someone is about to punch you in the face.
First off, that is not fucking true. You are fucking following on what Kevin said last time we talked about the burgers. None of the burgers I ever made look like a fist.
They feel like mom burgers.
I made them thick. Yes, they were thick burgers. They were not the hockey pucks that you are trying to besmirch me with, Kevin. And now Nick is jumping on because this is what Nick fucking does.
I think they are, Greg. They're great, but I love it. But I love it though. I'm not going to add the word too thick.
Something they I did wasn't perfect. Thick. Look at my.
I'm not arguing that they're thick. Mustache. They're saying they look like they
are fist like. I need to get my choppers going for that.
You could throw them into Giant Stadium right now, and they would start playing it like it's fucking baseball. No one knows.
That is offensive to me.
Greg, this is what you're talking about, where the burger is smashed.
Yeah, you smash it down and it gets your edges nice and crispy.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that looks good right there.
It's really good. I was really happy with them. This is what you're getting next time, Kevin.
Well, next time.
I make them too hockey pucky.
Hear me out.
I misunderstood. I thought you meant the whole thing. You put the whole thing together and then you smash that down.
No.
I mean, that sounds good too, though. You know what I mean?
It does sound good, actually.
It's like a cross between a grilled cheese. Maybe put some butter on both sides of that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Get it nasty. Get it real unhealthy.
I'm looking at pictures of the Smashburger, and it's making me sad that we all can't go to lunch together. I just want you guys to know that. Now, I know Greg wouldn't come, but me and Andy and Kevin and Tim would have a great time, and probably Joey too.
It's just one of those things, you know, you like to talk all this shit, Nick, and I just, you know, it's so fucked up every morning when I look at the calendar and I see all the things I'm on.
Yeah.
And I just don't see you doing anything. You know what I mean?
You literally go in and take me off things. I've been trying to get on Games Daily for 4 years. I keep putting my name on it. Someone keeps saying, Nick, you spelled it wrong. It's spelled Imran. And I'm like, no, that's not my name. I want to be on it. I want to talk about games.
See, I'm upset. I misjudged my Starbucks time today. If I could get a Starbucks, I needed that afternoon Starbucks at a random time. You know what I mean?
I know that feeling. That's not a good feeling.
Oh, dude, yeah. The Starbucks is so close to your house, too.
I know. I could do it in the middle of the show, I feel like, and get back in time. But I feel like I could
ask your wife to go, and she'd probably be like,
she's even busier than me. She's launching games. You know what I mean?
Lucy doesn't have a job anymore, right?
Dude, she's worse than you. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, cool. You write reviews for GameSpot? She's like, nah. Like, oh. What do you do? She's like, I don't know. Talk occasionally. I don't know what she's doing. Our second co-host, Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the bald one at Tim Geddes.
What, Tim Host? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I'm used to it now.
I keep saying cold. Yeah. That's the truth.
Yeah.
To this day. I don't think that's going to change for quite a while.
Have you thought about wearing a hat? Like, look at Nick's little Parappa hat. You could be like that.
So what I've decided is I ordered a couple beanies. Nice. And what I decided is I'm going to roll with this, like, super bald look for as long as I can because it's only going to last, like, a week.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like I'm trying to think of, like, all the cosplays I have to get out of the way, like all the Instagram posts. I had Bane. I got to do Kingpin. Got to do a Pitbull. Got to do Mr.
Cole
Clean.
Cole McGrath.
You know? Like, just I got to do all those things. Get them out of the way.
You do? You do?
Yeah. So
have you started moving on any of them?
Black hat will probably come out. I've thought about it a little bit.
Okay.
I did Bane. That worked.
Yeah.
I ordered some stunner shades for Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. Yeah. Gotcha. So I'm excited about all of this.
Have you ordered a Vin Diesel jacket?
I've looked into the Vin Diesel jacket and I had to make the executive decision that it is simply too much money for the time frame that it would be worth it.
You're crazy.
Can you buy a little hat like Barrett?
Can you buy me a little hat like Barrett? I'll wear it.
Andy, right now, here's what I want you to do, all right? This is going to be a mission for this podcast if you choose to accept it. This episode will self-destruct in 30 minutes.
Okay, I'm excited about this.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to leave your room, sneak into Barrett's room, get one of the hats, and bring it back here. Now, you can't tell him what you're doing. He can see you do it, and you'd be like, oh, man. Like, I don't know. You just walk in there, you're like, pick up the hat, you're like, how you doing? You know, this is you punching the inside of the hat like a baseball mitt, you know what I mean? Doing some of these tricks, throwing it around, like, just make it normal that you have the hat, but then you bring the hat back here in a way that then Tim could come get it from you, I could drive to Nick's house and take off the hat and throw it on the ground.
Elgato
has that Wi-Fi program now where I could use my phone as
installed it? Have
you can't go too far.
Yeah,
they're in a San Francisco house. They're fine.
I thought Tim.
Yeah, he's only getting closer to the Wi-Fi point.
It's your distance from the computer, though.
Oh.
So
try it out.
We can try. We can try.
This is really cool. I'm very excited.
All right. While he works on that, of course, he's our hacker. He's our other computer technician name that I can't think of. He's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
App. Oh, you know what? Oh, it's only Apple, Kevin. I remember this.
Boo.
Oh, that's
so I have my iPad. Boo.
Okay, yeah, there you go. You got a solution.
Okay. Let me think about it. By the way, my bed's a mess now. Everybody stop judging me, okay?
Nobody's
is anyone judging?
I slept through every alarm this goddamn morning. I couldn't fucking wake up. I don't know why.
And I
woke up to like Tim being like, hey, I need this thumbnail. I was like, oh, fuck, my bad, dude. I felt so bad about it. So my bed's a mess. And then my Xbox got here and I opened that shit up.
Yeah, is that on your bed right now? The box for your Xbox?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I can see it.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Rad. What'd you play first on it?
I haven't played anything on it.
Dark Knight Rises.
I plugged it in, popped in Dark Knight Rises, and I've been obviously I woke up really, really late, so I can't even be like,
obviously you're Andy.
So jam packed, but I've had the thumbnails and I made the video for the final video for Conjuring Review.
Last week's
last week's didn't work, right? You all had an issue watching it.
Yeah, it got
sounded
weird.
Like you were a robot.
That's happened a couple times now.
Damn, it was really good too. Like it worked fine on the video, but I was really, really sad.
It's something about it worked. It wasn't that bad. We heard it. Okay. You were just like kind of robotic.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I just made a lot of references to Latin American actors.
No, we heard it.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't laugh.
I laughed.
I mean, it was just that's one of those jokes like. We were at the Queen's dinner party, and it's like you don't want to laugh because you don't want to offend the Queen. That's one of those things. That's what Lucy's always talking about. She's always talking about the Queen laugh. That's what she's talking about.
I see. Mm-hmm. I was the other night. I was playing Overwatch with a stacked crew. Everybody. We had James Willems,
woo!
Blaine Gibson,
woo!
Temur Hussein,
woo!
Joel Rubin, formerly of Funhouse, and we had woo! Lucy James Games. It was a full six stack, just clicking heads, fragging in Overwatch.
Sure.
And Elise.
I'm sorry, real quick. Do you ever say fragging and bagging?
Fragging and teabagging, maybe.
I think they say tagging. Fragging.
Come on, it's 2020.
Well, because people still teabag.
No, that was a Halo thing. It never happens anymore.
It never happened.
In esports, even now with Valorant tournaments, whenever it happens, they go, oh, and a tactical crouch from so and so. They don't want to call it teabagging. They call it a tactical crouch.
That's funny.
Anyway, so we were playing, and Elise is just stoked because she wants me to play Overwatch with James. She's always like, oh, James always wants to play. Please play with him. He just wants to kind of hang out and just have game time with friends. And so and Elise is stoked, and she gets on the microphone. She goes, oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh, and by the way, Andy, she can't hear us. She's just talking to us. Uh-huh. And by the way, Andy, I love that Michael Caine animation you made. It was very, very good. And then I was like, oh yeah, none of us kind of understood what you said.
Yeah.
And James just goes, oh yeah, yeah. No, they heard it at least. Oh yeah, they're all laughing. it got me so good. They're all laughing at you, yeah.
Nick, it's not that I don't like the hat. It's just that I don't like when you step it up to look so good. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. Because
right now we're all dressed the same, we're all in our same kind of funny apparel. I mean, look cool. At you. You know, you look cool, Andy, but that's like on brand Andy. This is clearly Nick stepping it up and wanting to do a few different things. I have a feeling soon on his right wrist, he'll have one of those leather bracelets. You know what I mean?
I don't... leather bracelet or just a tattoo here that says someone's dog's name or something. I don't know.
It's funny you say this, Nick or Greg, because this to me is just errand Nick.
Yeah, this is Nick went out to get this cup of coffee before the show. And I guess I was the only person that thought to do that because I guess
no, I thought about it. It was that thing. I have 30 minutes or 25 minutes. Do I want to play a video game or do I want a Starbucks?
No, yeah, it does. I got this coffee earlier, so that was great.
And again, I might just do it. Fuck y'all. You know what I mean?
I got it.
Here's the thing. Go get Starbucks.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I mean, I'll leave it open, but like you'll see.
Me. I really missed how when you typed in Slack and you said, anybody, I'm going to Starbucks. Anybody want anything? Yeah. And Joey said exactly what we were all feeling. God, I miss the Starbucks runs. And I hate that these podcasts have just become into things we miss about.
Oh, they haven't been a lot. Don't worry.
No, for sure. But I mean, that's just one of those things that you take for granted. It's one of those things you don't really think about all the time until you're sort of just at home and wondering like, God, I would have loved to gone to Target right now, Nick.
So
I'd love to be a Target right now.
Andy, do you want to know what I did this morning?
What'd you do?
I went to, you know, I had all that junk in my room. I had to get rid of a monitor because my old monitor wasn't working. And Tim gave me this amazing Dell UltraWide that I'm using right now that has literally, Tim, changed my life. I'm a different person than when before I had this monitor.
That's what happens, man.
But I was like, I don't want to just throw this out. You're supposed to, this is a pretty big piece of electronics. And the only place I know that will recycle them is Best Buy. So I spent my morning, I went to Best Buy and then I basically looked at little tabletop tripods from my phone for like 15 minutes and then I bought one and then I came home.
Here wow. you are.
That sounds so cool. That sounds so
wow,
cool.
Wow, there it is. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I want to start recording my set. That's cool. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
You want to start recording what?
Oh, when I go do, I'm getting back out there to do stand up.
Oh, that's right.
And I want to start recording. I actually want to start making videos out of them because I want to start posting some more
Nick,
stuff.
Nick, I don't want to talk shit. Like, I mean this in the most loving, positive way possible.
Yeah, talk about the hat.
But Kev, can you please bring up Nick's Instagram?
He's like, blocked.
Not on your account, on a different, on an incognito, so we can actually see it.
Let me see. Yeah.
I want to just look at this picture. Just break it down for a second. No, like I just want to, like, you know, we've all talked about your journey with stand up and how difficult it all is and how like sad it can be. I don't think it's ever been this sad.
Wow.
You know, when I
really, I thought it looked cool.
I can't see it.
Oh, hold on.
There it is. Oh, you can't. But you have to click on it.
Right? Yeah, you can't zoom in unless you're logged in.
That's stupid.
Well, whatever. The top left picture, you can see it here. It's is that really what it was?
Well, no, that was one of the tables that was closed. But there's a whole parklet of people that you can't see.
Okay,
because good. In order to take that picture, you have to get into the street, and it's Bush Street. And I don't know if you've ever been on Bush Street. It's fucking dangerous. Now, there was about 25 people there that night.
Because just the idea of you just doing stand-up for just these two people.
I was going to say, Tim, describe the image. If you're an audio listener, right now somebody's driving a fucking boat. They don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I think with a boat, you can have a video.
Wrong?
I'm just saying with the boat.
Right now, everybody, take a photo. You're a fucking fisherman. You're getting some crab out there. Take a photo of yourself right now. Listen to this shit.
But like, someone's listening to this. Driving a boat, they know exactly what's happening right now.
There's a whale starboard. Where's the picture fucking Tim is describing?
I'm trying to find it.
What is depressing on Nick's Instagram? I'm out here on the Great Barrier Reef. I don't have internet.
Well, it's just funny because the picture is Nick with as much Nick swag as he's ever had. Like, you can see the charisma's oozing out of it. It's awesome. But he's there leaning over like what looks like a counter. Of like at the window at the base of a store or a restaurant of some sort.
What you gotta do.
And there's just a couple at a table in front of him, and it looks like he's 6 feet away from this couple, and it looks like he's just personally giving them a stand-up set.
And it like, basically was God. Because at that point everyone was so cold that they were just kind of barely smiling. But I did ask that couple their age, and they were a lot older than they looked. And I told that girl that she was a vampire, like Kirsten Dunst from Interview with a Vampire. And she laughed.
Good pull.
Thank you. Is it? No, the parklet was full. It was a great show. There a lot of people are doing shows like outdoors because you can't go indoors anymore, like right now. And I think actually they just dialed back the indoor stuff in San Francisco as well. So it's going to be outdoors for a while, everyone. But I've been getting out there and doing a couple of these. There's a couple over at Milk Bar too. But basically every bar has built these parklets that you can space people out. And don't get me wrong, Tim, the show is still as depressing as ever. It's not like I'm out there slaying, and like Dave Chappelle's calling me up and be like, dude, when you're done with those chumps that keep making fun of your dope beanie, like come out with me to the cornfields of Iowa and we can fucking crush. But it's just fun. It was just fun to go out and have a cocktail and like just relax and make
again. I am not trying to talk shit because I've been there with you through this whole struggle. I've seen you do the grind, and I appreciate that you're still grinding. I just envy the fact that you have this resilience because God, like that, it stresses me out looking at that picture.
I didn't once get that feeling though, that when I first saw this photo last night, I didn't get the feeling that these were the only two people there. I knew that there'd be more people. That's cool as shit that there were 25 people, Nick, because I think now more than ever, I think people are itching to look for reasons to get out. And
well, so they're doing another show.
Out to an outdoor stand-up set with, and it's safe and people are wearing masks and people are hanging out and they're little.
Yeah, like, if everybody's following the guidelines, right? Yeah.
I think that's cool shit. I think that's a really cool opportunity where people have been like, God, I got to get out of the house, dude.
Nick, do you still do the bit though you used to where you spit in people's faces? Like that was like your closer.
Yeah. What I like to do is I like to go around and I like to try and lick as many eyeballs as possible just to see what can happen. No, but everyone's, you know, shout out to the community. Everyone kind of laid dormant for a while and then when it was safe to come back, a lot of people have gotten really creative with how they're doing a lot of these shows. Like this is one of the F-bomb comedy shows, which is my buddy Janesh and Marty. And they're also doing a show at a place called Chambers, which is like I guess it's a hotel / like bar that has a pool out back. And so they've just put the tables all out back with heaters. And it's actually chill because it's like, I guess the wind can't hit them. And they've got the guy from like Drunk History, I think is going to be on next week.
Oh, wow.
Other people. Yeah, they're booking pretty big. And that's the cool thing too, is when you're booking shows now, so like a lot of the like higher tier comics are willing to travel a little bit because there's just not that many opportunities. So, you know, people are willing to kind of be creative and be like, yeah, I'll do some comedy poolside. Or I did one the other week that was on top of a parking lot in Santa Cruz. I wasn't booked on it, so I didn't like promote it or anything. I just went down there to check it out. And it was hilariously weird because everyone's in their cars, and so you'll do a joke and you'll see people laughing.
Do they honk their horns?
And then they'll honk their horns, which scares the shit out of me because I'm like standing by one of the cars clawing it up and just like gets just jolted, scared shitless, trying to figure out why people keep honking at me.
If you're a crab fisherman and you've been out at sea for a long time, there are these beverages called White Claws that people drink. They're like seltzer with alcohol.
Now, if you combine, what I need someone to do is actually, you know, what I started drinking was just a hard kombucha, which is that shit hits you. But what I need people out there in Photoshop land to do is take my beanie and my Henley, if you can, and put it on Greg. And so we can see Greg with the beanie, the fisherman's mustache, and my Henley, and see if he looks straight out of like a crabbing show. Hold on.
Do you want me to do it right now? I could do it right now, dude.
Yeah, can you do it right now?
Yeah.
Would it be helpful if he took his headphones off or no?
Yeah, do you want me to take off my shirt too? Would that help?
Yeah, take off. Let's both take off our shirts and my beanie. God,
the mustache with that statement. Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, screen grab of Nick completed. Let me save that off. Why I mean, I could even show my Photoshop if you want.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, wow, you took your shirt off, Greg. I didn't get a screen grab of you, Greg.
God, what?
Beautiful. Great, man.
Omar, take it off.
Greg, I'm not going to lie to you. The mustache without the shirt, it's a good combo. It's a good combo. Honestly, this mustache fits you really well. With the 5 o'clock shadow, too. I like it.
All right, we're good.
Can I put it back on there?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you are straight up Jason Sudeikis. Like, I know it's been said a million times, but it's insane hair similarities and obviously the wide.
But a less stupid looking Jason Sudeikis, you know what I mean?
Here's what I've been thinking, everybody. Here's what I've been thinking. I want to see Jason Sudeikis in a Marvel movie. That's what I've been thinking.
But
they're gonna get everybody.
Like a SHIELD agent, right? Not like a superhero.
I mean, right. either way. I think he could be either or.
I think he could be a decent what's the guy? Mr. Miracle. I know it's the wrong
DC, yeah.
Yeah. But like I feel like his silliness would go well with the seriousness.
Yeah, I mean we kind of scoffed at Paul Rudd as being a hero, and then look what happened to him. He's hot.
So, guys, I don't know who this guy is.
Jason Sudeikis? Yes, you do.
He was on SNL for a long time. He was in We're the Millers. Yeah, he's married to Olivia Wilde. They have a lot of sex, she said once.
Oh, good for them.
Ted Lasso.
No, it's a TV show. Andy, you're working on the Photoshop, right?
Yeah.
And you're making Nick look like me, and I'm looking like Nick, and we're going to be fishermen, right?
Oh, well, I'm not making you all look like each other. I'm just putting...
Can we look like the Gordon Freeman? Let's make us both look like both of us.
Here's... Andy, as you know, you never know your bounds until you are stretched beyond them. You know what I mean? That's what they say. You know what I mean? As you make this Photoshop, I also want you to do the rigmarole for the show. I'm going to go pick up my coffee.
Okay.
Wow.
This is the kind of funny podcast.
Keep working on the Photoshop. I can see it when you're not working on the Photoshop. Keep working on it while you talk.
where every week four or five best friends gather around these microphones to talk about what's happening in their lives. As always, you can get the Kind of Funny podcast on podcast services around the globe, youtube.com/kindoffunny, and at your local mom and grab shop is where you can get this podcast as well. Everybody, I hope y'all are having a fantastic Tuesday afternoon. I'm sorting through these layers and it's hard to concentrate.
You can right let now, me and Tim am, talk too. You don't have to talk and do Photoshop. Me and Tim can take it over.
Go ahead, Tim. Tell them what's the deal.
You can do all the different things. You can get the show ad-free with the exclusive post show while watching live by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunny, or search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Podcast, and we'll be right there for you.
And here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say, Tim. I know that I'm already interjecting and stealing the spotlight, but here's what I'll say.
Please
for
do.
For people who do not watch the post show, people on the post show will attest and will kind of like say, yes, you're right, Andy, to the fact that sometimes we spill secrets in the post show.
Oh,
sometimes
so many secrets.
Sometimes we talk about secretive stuff that's happening within or kind of funny, whether we're talking about, you know, hey, we're hiring Gavin Free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, no, we might as well call it the secret show. And that secret show is available to our Patreon producers, James Davis, at James Davis Makes, OD Billy, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Black Jack, Steve Powers, and Kieran O'Donnell. Thank you all for being Patreon producers on this here show.
Steve Austin Powers.
That's what they call him, man. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Wow, this looks perfect already. Oh, my gosh. Now, there are a bit of... There are some residual Nick's beard hairs in here.
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah, they're just kind of left over because your beard is too long and they're kind of popping in the shirt frame. But oh my God, this actually looks really damn good already. We're making progress, everybody.
I'm excited.
Andy, this whole challenge that Greg just gave you to Photoshop while doing the rigmarole to the show, I get that that's very difficult. And I know that like doing the rigmarole to any show can be hard.
Yeah,
you listen to, man, I'm blanking on the name of it right now and I can't believe it. Levitard show.
Yeah,
the Dan Levitard show. You listen to that every day.
Could
you do the rigmarole for that show?
They don't really have a rigmarole, dude.
We're the only ones that make people wait 15 minutes for content.
Yeah, everything about their show is just it's a mockery of everything ESPN. Which, by the way, ESPN had layoffs recently, and one of the producers on the show, Chris Cody, got laid off, and it's very, very sad. And they haven't done a show since. And I'm wondering is this the beginning of the end?
Patreon?
No. I think they're about to they're obviously very pissed off at ESPN for everything that's happened in the last couple of or the last year or so. ESPN kind of saying no more, don't talk politics anymore. ESPN kind of clamping down on all the creativity they want to do because they want them to be more sportsy, and which is why that they've resorted to having podcasts that aren't ESPN bound, where it's just so similar to what we do, where you can only get some of their shows on podcast services. And I think they're just kind of fed up with a lot of what ESPN's having them do. And so I wonder if they're going to, you know, boycott or some shit like that. It's pretty crazy.
Very interesting. It's
really interesting. Yeah.
I have three things I want to bring up today. One is quick. One is fun. And one is a conspiracy theory.
Ooh, this is right. Fun.
Ooh, and I want Greg's input on this, but I'm just going to bring it up now and he can be welcomed into it and see if he gets it or not. So we were talking earlier about wanting Starbucks and like life being weird and everything's changed. We've all been ordering a lot more on DoorDash or Seamless Uber Eats or anything, correct?
Yes. Yeah, way absolutely. Too much, dude.
Way more than we used to. Like it's just kind of become part of, good job, Kev, part of our normal lives in a way that I don't think it necessarily was before the shelter in place stuff, right?
Are you about to say that there's a conspiracy going that Uber Eats wants to continue the
No. It's not that type of conspiracy. It's how often do you pull up your app of choice and just kind of check at what's new? Just to switch it up. Because I do very often.
What new restaurants are available? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I've gone the opposite way where I'm trying my best not to order that stuff. It hit a breaking point where it's like, dude, we're doing this way like 3 or 4 times a week, and it's like, you know, it's too expensive. So we, at my household, we've switched over. We're actually doing HelloFresh
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
that's this fun. Isn't sponsored by it that, but it should be.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it will be.
I've been having the opposite where I keep trying to go to my go-tos and they keep fucking me. So I keep trying to get – I've tried to use Uber Eats and Postmates twice now for Taco Bell, and it has just not – it's just fundamentally not worked. And, Tim, I don't know if you know the feeling of waiting 40 minutes for Taco Bell and then having the message coming through saying, hey, there was a problem. You're just going to have to reorder this. Mm-hmm. And just the sheer guttural rage that you feel when mm-hmm. that comes through, where you think to yourself, I could have fucking not been a lazy ass, gotten in my car, driven 5 minutes down the road to get Taco Bell, and then been back and have eaten it already. That's yeah. where I've been. So lately, I've been just getting in my car and going because it's actually pretty easy to park. Now, you know you're not supposed to use the COVID spots for this, but I just pull right up and go grab it.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh, my God.
Look okay, at hey, it.
I didn't see
it.
Sorry.
Oh, but... he put a little drop shadow there.
I like he put the – it looks a little turnt. On his head, he's wearing it kind of cool.
It does look
Dr. Seussie.
Now, this is really good. Can you put like a rain slicker on him too, and then a storm behind him?
And then the font. I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, exactly. What was that show that Ice Fishers? No, what the fuck was the show where those guys used to go crabbing?
Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest
Catch.
That's
what you're looking for.
Wanted. Dead or alive.
Deadliest Catch. Andy, this is really good.
I don't mean to rub it in. I got the mail on the way down there, ladies and gentlemen, and I got my University of Missouri alumni 2021 calendar. Pretty stoked. Ooh, on the back, I can get my Burger Smokehouse ham at a discount because, of course, Mizzou Alumni Association, lifetime member here. No big deal.
Irvine Alumni Association keeps calling me, and I just keep hanging up on them. They keep calling me for money, and fair. I go, no, I don't want anything to do with you.
It is that thing where I made the mistake of when I became a lifetime member. And then, you know, probably did like, I don't know, some one or two donations or whatever. I get the phone call now and I get a 573-882. I'm like, oh, fuck, is Mizzou wants more money? Like, get out of here.
They want money every year and that's the problem. You supported them once and they're like a child. They just want more food.
This is Ellis Library. You might remember it because I modeled my Animal Crossing living room after it. So no big deal.
Oh, yeah, that's where I remember it from.
Andy, you did a great job with that Photoshop.
So Greg, you came in at the perfect time because I'm about to tell them this conspiracy theory that's going
this
on.
This is the thing you had to talk about, right? You said you had a good topic.
There are three things I hear every day. These people not wanting topics.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are three things. No, it's not so much topics as much as a conspiracy
theory. We
got a topic.
Old Game Over Great Show's back, everybody. Topic here. Gather around, children.
The topic is there's a conspiracy theory going on. Not theory. There's a conspiracy going on with the different food ordering apps, the Uber Eats, Seamless, DoorDash, all that stuff. So this household, in some way, shape, or form, uses these apps a lot every week. And it's gotten to the point that we're trying to switch it up and trying to like find new places. So whenever we open the app, there's that question of what are we going to order today? And I started noticing in the last 2 months a influx of new restaurants. And I was like, how are there all these new places popping up? This doesn't make sense. And this all started when I searched for wings because I was craving some wings. And I just put wings in the search bar and a place called Saucy Wings came up.
I'm saucy.
And I was like, I've grown up in San Francisco. I'm pretty aware of a lot of the establishments, especially in certain areas.
Yeah.
I was like, I've never heard of the Saucy Wings. It must be new. That's weird. Ordered some wings and they came and I'm looking at them and I'm like, these look very familiar, like explicitly familiar.
Sure.
Like I've had them before.
Are they wing wings?
That I realized they're just the wings from Hall of Flame. Then I looked up the address of this Saucy Wings establishment, and it is the same exact address as this restaurant that kind of funny frequents called Hall of Flame.
Yeah.
So I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird. Don't really think too much about it. Couple days later, maybe a week later, getting some Thai food. Normally, we order from this place called Venita Thai. It wasn't popping up, but a place called Thai Thai Thai.
That's a great name, too. That's not a lie. Name.
And I was like, all right. It had more fun, like a fun little logo and shit. I'm like, I guess I'll try this place.
Can you have Jen pronounce it Thai Thai? Thai Thai? Like Tintin?
Don't make fun of my wife. Don't make fun of my wife.
We're not making fun of her. We're celebrating her differences.
Don't join in.
Tim, I'm right with you. Continue. Tim, I'm right with you. Keep on going.
So then I see this and I'm like, that's at the address of Venita Thai. This is weird. Recently, again, I look up. I'm like, I'm in the mood for some barbecue. Is delivery barbecue a good idea? Probably not. But I'm going to search. I'm going to see what's up. And a place called, I kid you not, OMG BBQ LOL.
Yeah.
Pops up. Super bright, super attention grabby type graphics and stuff. And I'm like, I bet you, without even like knowing this offhand, even the area it's in, I bet you if I look at this, it is going to be on Hate Street. Because Memphis Minis, one of the only barbecue places in the city, is on Hate Street. Guess what, Greg?
It's Memphis Minis.
It's Memphis fucking Minis. These motherfuckers are trying to play us. So I've tried going deeper into this. And obviously, the strategy makes sense, right? Trick people into thinking it's new.
It's a new pop-up shop.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, cool, I'm going to get in this thing that's been here for decades and no one's given a shit before, right? Sure. But it's crazy because I have found the jackpot of all of this.
Okay.
And it is someplace that I don't know the actual restaurant, but it is on 18th Street. And there is about 10 different places listed with the exact same address.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all specifically targeted to different types of food.
Yeah.
There are four different pizza places at one address. One targeted Chicago style, one Detroit style, one New York style.
They're playing the game. You got to respect this hustle.
You got to respect it. It's insane, though, how deep you're going into this.
I went to the other night, I think it was like Saturday night after Extra Life. And congratulations, by the way, guys, because you guys crushed that.
So did you.
It was really, really fun and really good. But I was like, fuck, man, I saw Tim eating that pizza. And I was like, do I drive over to Tim's house right now and try to get that? I was like, no. I'm sure there's something open around me that I can find. And, you know, it's COVID, so a lot of places are closing down early. But it was Saturday night, so I was like, oh, God, there's got to be something around here. I find this place. Can't remember what it's called. Walk in, and I'm like, can I get two slices of pepperoni pizza?
Oh, yeah.
And I saw two slices of cheese pizza. And I looked at the guy, and he went, sure. And I'm like, that's not instilling confidence in me. He goes over and he takes the two slices of cheese pizza that he had the look on the face, Greg, where it's like, this has been there for a while.
This pizza is gonna fuck
you up, bro. And he kind of gave me the out where he's like, sure. And I'm like, yeah, no. I want this. I want this pizza. Take these two slices of cheese pizza that have been there for a while. I see him walk over to the little prep stand where all the toppings and stuff are. And he just starts putting pepperoni on it and then just takes a shit ton more cheese and sprinkles it on top. And then looks at me one more time and then puts it through like the middle door of the pizza oven.
Sure.
Not the front where it starts, the middle door where it's like, I just want this to be extra dry when it comes out so there's no sauce at all. Oh my God. I don't know why I ate this pizza, Tim, but it fucked me up on Saturday night to the point where I was like taking nauseous pills where I'm like, this is not good. I
got this. DJ Kento, fan of the show, listener to the show, frequent commenter and stuff like that.
Yeah,
kind of had this similar issue with you, Tim, where he discovered a pizza place that was a fake kind of OMG BBQ LOL sort of place, trying to be this trendy pizza place. But it was a Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that's
selling
great.
The pizzas.
And dude, so it goes deeper here. There's two places specifically that I want to call out. One called best-selling ice cream and desserts.
Okay.
One called the Midnight Menu.
Ooh.
Midnight Menu has a picture of, there's like some taquito looking things. There's some like tater tot looking things. A type of burger, some pizza, some Ben and Jerry's ice cream, some Doritos, and some hot Cheetos. All right?
Yeah.
Both of these places are 7-Eleven.
That's amazing. Now, this is like, what I don't understand. Is like, I don't understand why people are picking these things over the tried and true. And I know that I'm old. And
it's headline and thumbnails.
They're right. Exactly. That's right where Tim is. It's discoverability and it's getting it out there. Like, and here's the thing, because like, I know not to the thing you're, I've never seen the one where I'm running a business out of a 7-Eleven, right? That you're talking about, Tim. But even when we had the office, I saw this firsthand because there was a day where I had to eat in between shows and I was like, I don't want something terrible. And so I put into Uber Eats healthy. And the first thing that popped up was not unhealthy. And I clicked on it and it was like rice. It was protein and rice or protein and vegetables, right? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And I'm like, I don't know this place. I ordered it. It was delicious. I continued to order from it. But I noticed it was coming from basically a bunch of like office, like an office strip or like warehouse strip over off Cesar Chavez. And I was like, that's so bizarre. And I didn't think too much about it because the food's coming and I'm not dying. So whatever. And then once we moved into COVID times, right at the beginning, there was a on my Instagram feed one morning, a, you know, served targeted ad that nailed it. I'm just like, hey, I want to say it's Chicken as Cluck, but that might be wrong. But it was, hey, we're this chicken restaurant and we do Nashville hot chicken burritos. And we are going down during COVID. If you're ever in the area or if you ever want, you know, delivery, we do delivery. And I was like, oh, fuck, that sounds great. We should try that. And then by happenstance, we ended up in that part of the city over off Caesar Shop or over in that area, you know, like even south of Dog Patch, right? You know, or, you know, where we did that, our meet and greet for SF or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, like, wait, Selma, yeah.
And it's not Selma, though. It's something. I forget what it is. Dog Patch, I guess, right, Tim? Is that what
you're talking about?
Yeah. We were over there. And I was like, oh, this is close. And I Googled it, and it came up Cesar Chavez. And I was like, wait a second. Is this? And we went over there, and sure as shit, drove up, and it was one storefront, and it was a bunch of different brand restaurants that were being run out of it, just doing this incredibly targeted thing. And we got a chicken sandwich and the Nashville hot burrito, and the chicken sandwich is the best chicken sandwich I've ever had in San Francisco. So I don't mind people doing this, especially when it's getting me what I want out of the thing. But I was the same thing of like, wait, so it's just one kid. It's very much the Simpsons joke of like, here's Duff Dry, Duff Light, and Duff, and it's all coming out of the same thing, just being split into three different ways.
So that, Greg, you've cracked the code here of what I found out, which is there's actually two different things happening. There's what you just described, which is, it actually is a bunch of pop-ups essentially running out of one place. And then there is just places pretending there's something else based on parts of their menu.
So here's my thing about the pretending for the 7-Eleven. Is that run by 7-Eleven, or is that like, wow.
Like that's
that
the
kind
thing.
Of, that it's, kind of makes sense, though, right?
What's it called again? I want to look at.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense when you think about targeted, like how people search, right? It's got to be based on that. Or if someone just wants wings, they just want wings. So if you sell wings and 50 other items, you're not going to come up as prevalently as they do if you're just the quote unquote the wing.
Sure.
Wing
nobody's going to think to go to like the burger place if you have great wings.
Yeah, it's just weird to me because I guess like the reason I told that pizza story, by the way, was I forgot the actual point of it was that it was a pizza place / falafel place / kebab place / grocery store / all these other things. And that's what made me, that's my first thought was, oh my God, this is going to be salmonella just waiting to happen, which is why I would not order anything from any place that I haven't walked into myself and seen the conditions in which the food is made. I say that, but I order from Taco Bell's and I've seen the inside of a Taco Bell and it's so dangerous in there.
Yeah.
The last one I want to bring up real quick.
The same thing happened to me with chicken tenders real quick. Like I'm pretty sure I bought chicken tenders from a place I thought was, what's the name of it? I thought it was a place called like Crispy Fried Chicken, or there was like a,
I saw that.
And I'm pretty sure that's 7-Eleven.
Yeah, or that, it's just like it looks like a bunch of different types of dogs. It's not.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But the last one I want to bring up is this Egyptian restaurant that I know that is very close to the house I grew up in, called Al Masri Egyptian Restaurant. And it is now rebranded as Bitchin' Baklava.
Okay.
That's
a good rebrand.
That's a fucking great rebrand. That's a great rebrand. I feel like we should have a vote right now. Do we rename Kind of Funny Bitchin' Baklava?
Just get into a direct fight with them right away.
Yeah, exactly. Just try to get the oil immediately.
Yeah, so this Crispy Fried Chicken is a gas station. Now, granted, it was real good. Like, I won't even hate. They were very hearty, thick, juicy chicken tenders, and they were damn good and spicy and stuff. But you search that same address, and it is a corner store. It is a gas station.
That terrifies me.
I sent Kevin the chickenascluck.com thing just to show, because again, I do. This food is great, for real.
That's awesome.
But here's,
oh my God.
Here's, they have the whole, huh?
I gotta Google this. This looks incredible.
But here you go. This is their about page, right? Because I think it's gonna shed some light on what we're talking about here. Tired of being cooped up in the house eating the same thing? Let us spice up your day with our Nashville hot themed chicken menu. Chicken as Cluck is a virtual restaurant (parentheses ghost kitchen) that places a premium on sustainable farming and particularly local farmers, so everything is as fresh as it can possibly when you taste it. It is scary. You know what I mean? Hold on.
Greg, you already said this, but this place existed before COVID because there was a time, Andy, me, you, Joey, and Cool Greg ordered this when we had a late night at the studio.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. But what did we order? I don't remember what we ordered.
We ordered a whole bunch of just random hot chicken stuff.
So I've now Googled and run into cloudkitchens.com, which is also here, Ghost Kitchens. Your secret sauce for restaurant growth.
Holy shit,
is a ghost kitchen? Our commercial kitchens we made to help you get the most out of delivery. You can launch a ghost kitchen in 1 month. No need to wait 12 to 18 months to build a brick and mortar. All you've got to do is cook. We handle logistics and fulfillment to make sure your orders are delivered with more accuracy and less time. Capture more online orders with multiple brands. Our most successful customers are often running 5 brands out of a single kitchen. Ghost kitchens are a low-cost, low-risk way to experiment with menu items, cuisine types, and even new markets. Manage all your delivery orders from a single tablet and leverage the data to increase your efficiency. Cut costs of front-of-house labor, wasted food, and expensive real estate by maximizing your delivery revenue.
That's crazy. Awesome. This is crazy.
This is I'm so happy that I brought this up because this got to like some real shit. We got answers.
Hold on. So
None the wiser. You know what I mean?
Kevin, I'm sending you a link here because there's a YouTube video on how it works. We could watch a little thing, learn even more.
Are we starting one right now?
Now, Nick, you
Ghost Kitchen is the coolest name they could have possibly had.
Nick, you jumped ahead of me where I do think we should. Cloud Kitchen's how it works. This is the second. Oh, yeah. Did I script? Okay, yeah. Show us this and let's listen in together. It's a minute 17, and then we're going to see if we're opening up the kind of funny kitchenette.
Okay. We need to cook first.
Kevin, don't worry about those. Are just details that Tim can have.
Exactly.
There's a 7-Eleven near here.
Give me 1 second. I need to change.
Go to the local Shell station and get all this stuff.
While Kevin
Beef Jerky Hut
looks in to change that, why don't I tell you about our sponsors? This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Honey. I don't even need to read the ad or be able to talk to you, apparently, but I don't need to look at the copy for the ad either because I use Honey all the time. What is Honey? It's a free extension you can add to your internet browser of choice. And what it does is very simple. First off, it's free. You click, it's like 2 or 3 clicks, bam, it's in your thing and you have it for the rest of your life. Then when you go to check out on different sites, my phone just fell down and scared me. It'll go through all the promo codes you could use on that site and save you money. It'll pick the best one for you. And if that wasn't enough, of course, just getting you free discounts and having a good time. If you log into Honey like I do with my Gmail, it keeps track of how many times you've used Honey. You earn Honey coins, and then you can spend the Honey coins on gift certificates and other things you can use on the internet like that. I use it on Amazon all the time, and that pays for my paper towels. You should join Honey, though. Let me look at the ad now and make sure I got everything they want here, of course. When you're doing this, it's over 30,000 supported sites. It pops up, tells you all you have to do is click apply coupons. It'll do it for you. It'll find the best one for your cart. I love Honey. It's saving me a bunch of money. Honey's found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings, and it supports all kinds of retailers from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands to even food delivery. Hey, we talk about that in this episode. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/kinda. That's joinhoney.com/kinda. Please use joinhoney.com/kinda so they know we sent you. Thank you, Honey, for supporting today's episode. Our next sponsor, why, ladies and gentlemen, it is Hims. That's right. You know 4hims.com because we've been talking about them for a long, long time because they've been very, very good to Kinda Funny. Of course, Nick and Andy use 4hims.com for their hair. They noticed their hair was thinning. They went to 4hims.com. They talked to a medical professional online who prescribed generic equivalents to well-known name brands to save money and have everything shipped to their door discreetly and quickly, which is very helpful. Today, however, we're talking about ED. As you probably know, a lot of men deal with erectile dysfunction, and it's nothing to be ashamed about. That's why you should go to 4hims.com and do something about it. So many people don't want to go get help, period, let alone make the phone call, let alone wait in the waiting room, let alone talk to a doctor in person, let alone go to the pharmacy. There's a million things that could stop you from feeling better. 4hims.com is not about that life, son. Instead, you can go to 4hims.com. You can talk on your schedule to a doctor privately, discreetly, on the internet, on your own time. And then if they say it's right for you, they will prescribe you generic equivalents to well-known name brands. Send them discreetly packaged to your door, and you can get back to living your life. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/kindoffunny for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/kindoffunny. FORHIMS.com/kindoffunny. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for further details and safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/kindoffunny.
Nick, Nick, yeah. You bring up, just real quick, you bring up the gas station. One of the places that I found recently is that gas station on 19th and Lincoln. You know what I'm talking about?
The loop? The loop?
Loop.
The loop. Yeah. Dude, the loop is the bomb. Loops are
I feel like we're getting played though, because like I've seen the food at the loop. I don't know what I eat there.
I'll be honest with you guys. There have been many times where on my drive home from pick, you name it, Greg, crushing a set of comedy, destroying on the mats of jiu-jitsu, being arguably the best person in this group at fucking the whole kind of funny stew.
Totally.
Many a time I would.
Wait, I'm sorry. That was the end. You were just the best person in this group.
There are many times that I've stopped by that loop and been like, I'm going to get a turkey sandwich from this place. A little prepackaged turkey sandwich, because it reminds me of a cafeteria like in elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
You got to ride it. It's never bit me in the ass. Never once.
Wow. All right. You guys want to watch this video?
Sure. Yeah, but I don't believe Andy read the ad. Told the ad people. And did he read the Patreon producers? Did he do that?
Yeah, he did all of it.
He did.
I think.
Where did he get this information?
Tim helped out a bit, yeah.
We weren't really paying attention when he did it, because we were focused more on the Photoshop, and I was asking to add more elements to that Photoshop.
Okay, cool.
He did.
I hit the Patreon producers. I did not bring up the fact that we are brought to you by Honey and Hymns, which you already heard about.
We just read the end.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's find out about our Cloud Kitchen.
Restaurant is easier than you think. At Cloud Kitchens, we help restaurant owners like you grow your business with lower risk and higher return.
Thank you. With commercial kitchens
optimized for delivery, you can launch a new location in less than a month and expand your reach to delight new customers. And it's all for a fraction of the cost versus brick and mortar, thanks to minimal labor and real estate. Here's how it works. You'll rent a cloud kitchen.
Money.
Fit with basic equipment so you can customize it to your needs. We'll provide the tech to track your orders without a hitch. Your customer places an order. No matter which app they used, you'll accept all your delivery orders through one single tablet. Then you'll do the cooking. With just a few backhouse staff members, you're good to go. As soon as your market is complete, our team will take care of the rest to fulfill the order and make sure it gets into the hands of the right driver. Thanks to our proprietary technology and fulfillment services, your order gets delivered faster and more accurately, which means lots of happy customers.
I don't like this
When it comes to cloud kitchens, all you gotta do is cook.
It's not the real world. It's just to learn more, schedule a tour.
No,
it's just the cloud world.
Okay, so wait, hold on. So I thought that it seems like what you all were saying, that there were certain stores that were operating in this fashion, but cloud kitchens look very much like a Black Mirror sort of.
Well, I think that's just it. I think that's just a conceptual example. I think what they're saying is, you can cook out of anywhere and still sell and grow your brand, which actually is pretty cool. If you're like, hey, I want to start, like if Greg wanted to start a wings business, but you know, you don't want all the upfront capital of having to get people in. Yeah, you start out of a place where you can just run like an industrial kitchen someplace where it's super cheap, because storefronts are very, very expensive in San Francisco. So my question is, like, are people just doing it to sell food and make money? But what's the end game? Because after a certain point, if you're just locked in a room cooking endless hours of the day for people,
You figure you could actually make an impact, right? Like Chicken Ass Cluck is written up in a couple different, you know, Chronicle and whatever here. Right. Think of it that way, of almost being like a food truck. How many food trucks then go get the brick and mortar,
but
right?
Continue.
That was pretty much my point. I think you go, you get an audience, you get a thing, you get some buzz, and then if you make enough money, you get to go do that. You try out your recipes with lower risk.
Right, that makes sense. But ultimately, the end goal is still to start a storefront.
I would think so, but I'm not. I don't know. Yeah,
because because the whole point of being a restaurateur is that you want to interact with human people and serve them, and isn't that like kind of part of the fun of opening a restaurant? Because otherwise, you're just cooking and making money. It's easier to always make money.
I mean, I think that if you're making enough money and it's you and two other people just cooking all day and night, and if the money's there, you're cooking already. I don't think that everybody necessarily needs the human interaction element. I think if it's sustainable and if you're getting income, then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong if this is your way. But like a place called Chicken Is Cluck, which is like obviously a brand that you put together to grow that brand. You want that to be a bigger franchise of some sort, right? I guess I'm thinking too locally. I guess you could still run it all as a ghost shop and have it be a cool brand. And most people wouldn't even be, I mean, I wouldn't be any other wiser. I'd be like, this is amazing. I would never even think to Google where these fucking things were. And it's run out of the bathroom of a fucking Chevron station. I guess, I don't know.
I have a couple things that I want to say. Like, this is cool because it's very similar to the WeWork offices. Have you guys heard of this? Where it's the same setup. It's like a large office. Of you can rent the space, come in, use it, and move on. So that's cool. The other thing is, I imagine most people.
Well, they're not actually providing the spaces, right? They're just providing the infrastructure, and you have.
Well, that's my third point. The second thing I'm trying to say is, it sounds like and this is similar to the food trucks, where it was like, what, Curry Up Now used to be just a food truck. It got successful enough that it was able to launch now several different, like, brick and mortar locations. Now, my third thing, and this is the one that, like, I kind of, it freaks me out a little bit, because, like, that's clearly not what's happening with Loop. Like, at Loop, they're taking advantage of this situation. It might not even be that it uses that company, but, like, they're doing the same thing, but splitting up their menu. So I imagine the SEO is higher.
Yeah, definitely.
But, like, you're getting crap, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I just don't think that the tacos are worth, like,
they're dry as fuck.
Yeah, they're gross. But, like, when you go to the Loop, you know that's what you're getting. But when you're ordering, you know, super good tacos, you think you're getting something that you're not, you know? And that's kind of, I don't like that.
There is a definite level of, and that's my first thing too, but I'm always like, whatever. I mean, I don't really care that badly, but there is a certain level of visibility and sort of transparency that I feel is lacking in these transactions that kind of tells me something. And I don't think it's because of that. I don't think they started off being like, look, no one's going to order shit from the Loop, so we have to rebrand it. I do think it's because of SEO. I do think it's because that's just how people discover stuff. But we just came into the chat right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Richie. Richie, of course, has been our friend for a long time. Richie Nakano, famous restaurant tour, famous chef here in San Francisco Bay Area. You may have seen him on Anthony Bourdain's old show talking. Hello, Richie. How are you?
Hi, Greg Miller. How's it going?
It's good. Hey, we're talking about ghost restaurants right now. Are you aware of these things?
Yes. Ghost kitchens, yeah.
Yes, ghost kitchens. Our question is, what is the end goal? Are people doing this to then get enough money to then go open a brick and mortar? Is it a fly-by-night thing? Why do people do this?
So there's a couple different scenarios of people opening them. Sometimes, like a restaurant, like say a restaurant does barbecue, but the barbecue isn't selling via to-go. So they start doing fried chicken sandwiches instead and, you know, put it on caviar under a different name. Like, that's one scenario just to, like, boost sales.
Uh-huh.
Another scenario is, like, one restaurant can do 10 different menus and present as 10 different restaurants on Caviar or DoorDash and, you know, try to, like, diversify their revenue stream that way. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. And then there's also just, you know, you go and lease kitchen space in a ghost kitchen, and that is, like, how you, instead of doing a pop-up or something like that, you just do your to-go business. But I don't think that model is very sustainable because you're paying rent and a percentage of all your sales to your landlord.
Okay.
The former CEO of Uber is running one, and I think it has kind of like really not great terms for the people that rent from him.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Because we're just trying to put this all together. Are you aware that like 7-Elevens are doing this now, where you think you're ordering taquitos from somewhere? They're coming from 7-Eleven?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, Chuck E. Cheese was doing it. They were on all the apps as, like, some other name pizza place, and they were selling, like, really cheap pizza. So, yeah, I mean, I think people are just kind of doing whatever they can to try to, like, get their foot into the delivery game.
Sure.
But it's real, you know, it's weird. But and I think that there's some, like, not great practices going on out there. You know, people just buying like bulk frozen food from their purveyors and passing it off as their own food, but it is what it is.
Okay. So not a threat, just something. It's just something that's going on. You think it's legitimate enough?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, you know. like, I don't want to knock anyone that's doing it because they just need to make a little bit of extra money, but I do think that there's a lot of people that are trying to take advantage of it and are doing that thing where they have, you know, like 10 different fake restaurants on there, and they're just kind of seeing what sticks.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Richie.
Sure. Do you guys want to say hi to Greg?
Hi, Greg. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, Colton, Mary. Greg. Good to hear from you. All right. Bye.
Good to talk to you, Greg.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being a best friend, Richie. We'll talk to you later. You're on the Kind of Funny podcast.
Richie, thank you.
Hi, guys. Bye.
Richie Nakano, everybody. Line Cook on Twitter. Line Cook everywhere else. You can go find out what he thinks of the restaurant industry. I believe your name is Tim Geddes from kindoffunny.com.
Yes, it is. Joey Noel sends an interesting article from sfist.com, which is a very known SF news website. A Thai kitchen in an unknown location in San Francisco has been masquerading as Michelin-starred Kin Khao and offering delivery meals on Seamless and Grubhub unbeknownst to Kin Khao and its owner.
Oh, dang.
The owner says she was confused Saturday night when she received a phone call at the restaurant from a man who wanted to inquire about a delivery order he had placed about 45 minutes earlier. Perplexed, I told him we didn't do delivery, not even takeout. What were you doing on Seamless then? He said. She told the man that the restaurant had never been on Seamless, and the man hung up confused. She then went to a computer and Googled Kin Khao delivery, and lo and behold, there was a result on Grubhub that comes up higher than the restaurant's own website.
Damn.
The page on Grubhub, which appears identical to the one on sister site Seamless, showed the actual address of the restaurant and then a selection of menu items that the real Kin Khao doesn't serve. To make matters worse, Yelp had a Grubhub delivery module on Kin Khao's actual
Jesus.
Yelp page.
You know, it'd be a great
video.
No,
I knew there was a conspiracy. I knew this shit went deeper.
Well, we should get food from the real Kin Khao and then order from the delivery and just see which one's better. Just do a video on that.
You can't. Damn. You can't get takeout, you know?
That's a good point. We'll just have that to bring it into the restaurant and see.
It'll be like the old Chi-Chi salsa, like the old Chi-Chi salsa commercials where we'll go in there with a garbage bag and like a giant thing and pump in the salsa. To then take home. Remember these commercials, Andy?
You lost me on this one. I don't remember Chi-Chi salsa.
Hey, no, I don't.
Chi-Chi.
There is an episode.
Shut the fuck up, Greg. That is not the jingle.
You made that fucking jingle up.
I'm going to find it out for you too.
Fine.
Kevin, by the way, real quick, Kevin, I sent you a link to the Chicken as Cluck wing. Show people these fucking. Show these goddamn wings.
That's good looking.
Chicken as Cluck.
Chicken as Cluck.
I will say, though, that they were very, very salty. Like it was kind of unbearable at some points. You talking about pumping in that salsa, it reminds me of the Nathan For You episode where Nathan has the chili hidden underneath his suit so he could sell chili at a hockey game to people and like make profit off of it. But I mean, Richie's whole discussion was really, really interesting because it starts to get we're starting to go into kind of the illegal, shady Airbnb sort of side of things.
There's definitely something insidious happening on some of these. I'm not going to say all of them, but there's definitely some skeezy shit going on, right?
Yeah, like with Airbnb where, you know, the landlord, the people will rent out a giant apartment and just rent out all these rooms, and that's become illegal. And, you know, people started, authorities started kind of, you know, coming down on these.
Cracking down on that. Yeah.
Cracking down is what I was going to say, clamping down. Authorities started cracking down on all these people. And I feel like maybe we're going to eventually hit that point with a lot of these businesses. Cause it's fraud essentially.
Well, it's like, false advertising for sure.
Yeah.
And that's kind of at the base. That's the first thing I think of is I'm like, granted, it's not the biggest fucking deal in the world, but if I ordered what I thought was taquitos from a taqueria and it came from a 7-Eleven, I'd be a little bit disappointed by that. I would feel misled, to say the least.
I have a question for the group real quick.
Greg Miller.
For the Chi-Chi's salsa, Greg Miller has a seal trap memory. Do you want the pump commercial or the commercial then that has the song? You're going to see both. Which order do you want?
I want the song first.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, I've sent you both links. The song is the second one there, as I noted, number two song. If you could play the song first to show that I have the jingle right, that'd be great. Then we will need to watch the infamous I'm pumping salsa into a garbage bag.
I'll need one moment to flip the background for you guys.
Kevin, I'm going to give you two moments and a gold star because you've been so good today. All
right? Wow. It's five this month so far. I'm starting to want a prize.
I never get any.
Kevin,
you're
on a historic pace right now.
Chi-Chi's restaurant.
Chi-Chi.
That's a fun
restaurant style salsa.
That's a great logo too. Just like Cheers. They stole it.
You love Chi-Chi's.
Now, you'll love Chi-Chi's restaurant. Oh, that poor fucking guy.
God, this also looks great.
It's just a knockoff of Pace Picante right there.
It's like a restaurant. Get enough. This poor guy can't get any. I feel for
can't get enough, man. Kev, can you go back to about a third through this?
Look at that salsa right there. Look at the Andy. Is that getting your mouth watering right there?
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is.
A third into it. There's this woman's reaction. Yeah, this woman right here.
She's
like she looks
like I just shit in that bottle. Let's see if that smells the shit from my bottle.
It's more, why put the empty fucking bottle back? You know what I mean? You've come this far.
She's like, I got to. 35
to not have kids. Can you press play one more time, Kevin? I want you guys to notice how like a psychopath this person's chopping these tomatoes.
Oh, I know. Just look at this. Ready? There's like no angle to the blade. It's just up and down. They've never used a knife before.
Oh, I love this show, you guys.
I will say your memory never fails me. It never fails you, rather.
Now let's watch the commercial with the pump in it, because this is I think about this every time I have salsa, if I'm being honest. All right. This is the kind of thing, because like I remember being a kid and this is like the cool shit right here. You understand?
Your poor wife.
I don't tell her everything. Don't worry about it. You see your tweet about Smackers the other night? Did you see your tweet about Smackers the other night?
No, what'd you say about Smackers?
I'll find it for you while you look at this.
Okay.
Some people will go to any lengths to bring home the fresh taste of Chi-Chi's salsa.
May I have some mild salsa, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
It's creepy as shit.
Now they can just go to the store and buy it.
So he's pumping it into those, like, hot water bags?
Yeah.
With real vegetable chunks.
That's exactly what Nathan Ryu did. This is crazy. Yeah,
this is crazy.
Are you seeing that he's a fucking ripoff, huh?
Chi-Chi's fan?
He must have been. He probably came from Chicago. Be.
It's one of those where there's few commercials as genre defining, I feel, as the Chi-Chi's salsa thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, I'm really impressed with that commercial, because like that seems like a lot more effort and creativity than that level of product commercial expectation levels are.
I think you'll back me on this, because we're the only ones old enough to remember it. But back in the 90s, people tried for commercials. All right.
They tried. They fucking went.
There were narratives. There were sequels. There were universes. Remember that brother and sister that were fucking in that Folgers ad? That shit existed.
I was just going to say Folgers. I was going to best part of waking
hell
up.
Yeah.
Folgers in your cup. This was when you had to, Tim. Yes. It wasn't as easy as it is right now, right? You just put a tweet out and you become a millionaire. You had to fucking try back in the 90s to sell your product. And I remember specifically Folgers was, I would say, what do you think? Top 10, top 5 in their game, Folgers, those commercials?
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Top 5 easy.
Yeah.
They had a narrative.
The Folgers brother and sister fucking thing. What is that from? Because, like, I know it from, like, what I assumed was a parody commercial.
So the way it works is that, obviously, when Nick and I were young boys, there was a commercial, where the brother came home and there was some serious incest vibes going on, right? Yeah. And then, of course, when all of us, you know, became adults and had money and businesses and cameras, someone went and reshot that commercial, basically frame for frame, leading up to their parents coming down and being like, you know you can't be around here. You guys fuck each other. It was just a fucking hilarious fucking parody. The parody gets kicked around every so often, and it's so accurate to the original. That's how great it is, now show this tweet that I was talking about here.
Okay, let's see.
Again, for a glimpse into how the Greg Miller's mind works, all right? So the tweet I tweeted was, I think we should go back to calling dollars smackers. Who's with me? And of course, as you guys know from doing a podcast with me, when I get a joke, we talked about this earlier. I'm Greg Miller's biggest fan. When this thought occurred to me, I started giggling. And then once I tweeted it, I just started wheeze laughing on the couch. Jen looked at her phone and then quote tweeted it and wrote, we were both sitting on the couch in silence for the last 20 minutes. He put his controller down, grabbed his phone and tweeted this. That's how it worked. You know what I mean?
Greg, you are doing a show all the time.
Andy, I want you to know, I almost responded to this tweet with, The best way to stay in shape for a podcast is to podcast all the time in your head. Because that's what it was. It was me talking about somebody owing me money, calling it smackers. And then I was like, you know what? I haven't heard anybody call money smackers in quite some time. And Tim, Tim, January 5th is right around the corner. I don't know what we're doing on Patreon next year. I don't know. But if we should start saying at the 10 smacker level, you know what I mean? Just really fucking
own this. God.
Andy, that's a shirt too. We need a number 4 shirt and a smacker shirt.
10 smacker level.
Yeah. Nick, what do you got for me? What million smacker idea you got for me right now?
I'm going to be honest with you, Greg. I don't know that I've ever heard someone refer to dollars as smackers before. Bucks. Yes.
Smackaroos.
What? Smackaroos, yes, but never smackers. That must be a Midwest thing.
These are all things that I've just keep in mind, I've never heard any of these things in real life.
No. Greg, they only exist in Greg's real Ghostbusters fantasy mind.
They only exist in pop culture. I've heard smackaroos, I've heard smackers, I've heard all that stuff, Greg, but it's always in
bones.
I don't know, an Animaniacs cartoon or something like that.
Yeah,
something in
the according to Urban Dictionary, the top definition here is an old East Coast term for dollars, usually enough to smack someone in the face with, and they wouldn't care.
Yeah, okay, like a mafia member who's like, well, "What is it?" Hey, you know.
Yeah,
how much money would Tim, if I had smacked you in the face with a wad of money, but you were going to get that money afterward? How much would it have to be for you not to care that I just slapped you in the face with it?
A dollar.
Damn, you're cheap.
Yeah, because I feel like coins.
How hard
hurt.
Are you smacking them?
We're
not doing coins. We're talking about $1.
Tim, what if it was $500 worth of nickels?
Without
damn,
hurt.
Yeah, it would
didn't
hurt.
See that
would
I don't
hurt. Know but like, it's not all. It's not all coming at once. It's getting thrown at you, at handfuls at a time.
Chip damage
throughout the day.
Guys, there was something I've been debating if I wanted to bring up or not, and I'm going to because we were talking about the weird '90s commercials.
Yeah,
who remembers the Mentos commercial?
Mentos, the fresh makers.
Yeah.
So my wife,
will always remember this commercial and this song for one specific reason. And it was when I first became pubescent and I was going through a change in my life and I had access to dial up internet, right? And I was like, oh, I can type the word sex into things and see that.
Mentos
so sex. I did that. On this app, I think at the time it was Kazaa. Okay,
Kazaa, sure. Yeah.
Typed in sex, and I started
capital
downloading
K, underscore A or undercase A, capital Z, undercase A, and then capital A.
I think it's two lowercase A's, right?
Yeah, in the middle. Yeah.
So I typed in sex, just straight up sex, and. Hi. 3 days later, a couple videos came out. I've told the story about the Final Fantasy X,
of course,
porn that accidentally happened. But one that I don't know if I've ever talked about on the show, because honestly, quite frankly, it's embarrassing and weird. But I typed in sex and I forgot the name of the file name. It was not what it ended up being. But sure. I click on this thing. It opens and it's a Mentos commercial. And it's that song playing.
You got Rickrolled.
No. Let it go.
It ended and it was so weird because the entire thing was straight up a parody of a Mentos commercial. Way too happy guy, way too happy girls popping these Mentos in their mouth. But then it just hard cuts and the woman is just kind of like spread eagle.
Oh, Jesus.
I just start shooting Mentos out of the cooch area. And like literally it shoots from like you see
like
and
a
you
vending
see,
machine that spits out your bill.
They start popping out just like it was like 1, 2, 3, like a little delayed.
I'm picturing
and then
like
it cut, and it's the guy's like, it's just Mentos being popped into his mouth, but it was clearly edited. So, like, I've lived 30 years of my life thinking about this, right? I guess at this point, like 20 years later, after this moment when I was 11 years old, I've been thinking, like, somebody shot this and edited this, uploaded it. Like, it's porn. Like, it is a weird type of porn, but like it's also a Mentos commercial parody. It's weird, right, guys?
I want you to know that I just went to Pornhub and typed in Mentos, and there's no parody commercials. It's just people doing it with their bodies. I was expecting that. A lot of coke, a lot of Mentos.
I'll be honest with you guys, like the most shocking thing about this is that I just remembered that how happy I was when I discovered that they just sell the strawberry Mentos in one package.
For a second, I thought you were going to admit to making this Mentos video.
Kevin, that wouldn't shock me if I forgot that. That would not shock
Greg
me.
Greg Miller, I don't believe you. You did not go to Pornhub and type in Mentos. Because I did. Holy shit!
What are you seeing?
Wow.
Did you not listen to the words that came out of my mouth? It's nope. There's no parody commercials. People shoving them in their asses and fucking shit and then putting Coke in there.
Yeah, oh, I didn't hear you. Okay. Yeah. I didn't hear you.
I said there's a lot of fucking Mentos stuff on there, and none of it's a fun ad where they fuck at the end. It's all them torturing each other's bodies and having distorted stomachs.
The first one is like very off-putting.
They are putting. They're just pouring a bottle of Coke into a butthole.
Yeah,
I would say pouring. It's similar to like when the Sparklets guy used to come, and you were like, "There's no way he's gonna." And he would, the Sparklets water guy, and he'd have to kind of like tip it over, and then you have to go real fast and just jam it in the hole. Yeah, otherwise, it spills all over the place. That's what this person is doing to this other person. It is shocking. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I'm gonna bookmark this page for later.
Well, that was a lot.
Tim, how much do you remember of this video? Was there a red couch involved?
I don't remember enough.
I appreciate how deep Kevin's going trying to find it.
Was there a shirtless man with a beanie on?
No, he was wearing a green shirt.
Thank you. That helps me.
When I think of Mentos commercial, I just think of a guy in a business suit and like he got wet because of something. And he like obviously he shouldn't have been drenched in this business suit, but something happened.
Oh, where Annie. He sat on a painted bench. And it gave him pinstripes.
That's what it was.
It gave him pinstripes, and then he started rolling around to get pinstripes on the rest of it. And it was like, there's no way that paint would come off in like such a clean pattern, you liars.
Oh, right. I'm watching it right now, actually. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, there he is.
There he is.
Yeah, he looks at the camera, and he's got the Sean Hunter parted down the middle hair.
Love it.
Wow. Crushed it.
Earlier,
ladies and gentlemen...
Oh, I got some stuff for the post show too. Okay.
Thank you. Good. Okay. Good. Do you want to finish your thing right now, or is that for the post show?
I'll save it for the post show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to fuck around with each other and bullshit and have a good time. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can be part of the show. Of course, you can submit your questions. You can get your name read as a Patreon producer. You can watch the show live as we record it, just like Chance Carter, Kyle, Nat Vu, and the Lou are. And of course, you get the exclusive post show we're about to go record for patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you know bucks toss our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny podcast services around the globe each and every week. You get the ads, you don't get the post show, but you have a good time. God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, somebody tell me if Chi-Chi, I'm going to look up for the post show if Chi-Chi's restaurants are still around or if they went out of business already. They must have, right? Because I would have known about them, I think. Until next time, though, it's been a pleasure to serve you.